Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode on the dating series. And today I wanted to talk to you guys about the prevalence of commitment. And what I mean by that is lack of commitment. Many people, I think, my age just have a hard time actually committing to one person in one relationship for a long period of time. And it's really just the dating culture now, which is not really dating. It's more hookup, which requires minimal, if no, commitment at all and no regard for a person's feelings, which is why situationships, again, are also very common. And it's something I don't think is healthy for either party, both the person who is feeling the emotions and feelings for that person and for the person who is the person leading them on. It's just not healthy. It's not good for either party, and it's kind of just a waste of time, really. And I know that from personal experience. It's not something that is sustainable. And if it's not, there's no point in continuing to put energy and time in when that time and energy can be put into something way more valuable and beneficial to your life, like an investment in yourself, because that is what time is, which is something that I also went into more detail in my Funny Thing About Time episode. Check that out if you want. But that's the thing about dating nowadays, is it's really kind of going from person to person. And what I call Lori Keating, it's a little joke about this documentary that my little sister and I watched about these birds. They're colorful parrots, and sometimes they will raid a fruit farm. And the problem about this is the lorikeets will go and they'll, you know, eat from the fruit, but it's not like they take just a bushel and eat them all. It's they only take like a little bit of out of one berry. And they'll do that to every single berry in the grove, making them inedible and not able to sell because, well, they've been bitten into. And they just kind of flit from one to the other and never finish that entire fruit. And that's what makes them so difficult when it comes to raising these crops. So when I say lorikeeting, I just mean someone who bounces around from person to person or bounces around from whatever it is to the next and does not complete whatever they already started. Like, there are people who start a book, never finish it, and then decide to start a new one and never finish that one. And it just continues to go on and on and on. Or there are people I've seen who've read multiple books at once. I cannot do that. I don't know how people do that. And then they don't finish any of them. I just don't see it. Finishing anything is impossible. Just like committing someone to really commit to a relationship is nearly impossible and very rare. And I feel like the biggest reason why it is because we're in this age where, as people, you just don't have to. Whenever you make a mistake, you can just delete it. Or if you didn't do so well, you can always try again. With people, it's just different. Once you start writing on that slate, you have history, you have something there. So you got to be careful about what you put on it. That's why first impressions still matter. Everything, that first experience, shows you a lot about a person. The way they dress, the way they act. That's why on a first date, you look out for things that you don't like, or as a person, you should just not do. Like being mean to waiters and being rude or talking about your ex in a bad light. All these things, plus plenty of other red flags. I mean, I really don't like using that term because it's just so fad. But that's why when you go on a first date, it's very, very important to look out for those things, because then you know whether or not to continue on or to terminate it and just, you know, part ways at that. And then the thing about commitment is, I realized, is it's not just about the idea that it's a kind of responsibility or you're holding yourself to that accountability to be there for that person, but you're also admitting that you like this person enough to stick around. You like this person enough that you want them in your life more than just a fling or short term. And you see them possibly in your future, or you do see a future with them. You are admitting to that other person that there is something there. And in that, it is a huge moment of vulnerability, because you're letting someone else know outside of yourself how you feel about another person. That's essentially what a wedding is. Why do you think there are people around? It's because you have a witness. You're witnessing two people publicly declare their commitment to another person to keep them. And that, as a wedding nowadays, of course, it has the flourishes with their ceremonies and, of course, their reception. But the idea is that you're bringing two people together in matrimony. This idea that this person you choose to grow old together, share a life together, do life together, is your person, and you are committed to them. You will not cheat on them. You will be true to them and loyal in sickness and in health, in happy times and good times and difficult times, because it's really easy to love someone when it's everything's sunshine and rainbows and unicorns. But it's a lot harder when it's windy and it's rainy and it's cold and there's no light, no sun in the sky to see, everything's dark. It's a lot harder to keep that happiness and that love alive. And that's what commitment is you're saying, I am willing to devote myself, my time and my energy to be with you. And it's a tall order to fill, really. It is a daunting task. And it makes sense that fear of commitment and difficulty to commit is so common in our dating culture today, because everything around us says that nothing needs to stay the same. And the new thing is always the best. And it's usually always greater on the other side, right? There's this principle that I remember hearing somewhere, and it's called the 80-20 principle, which states essentially that someone might be dating another partner and they have 80% of the qualities that they want in a partner, all the good things that they want as a partner in a lifelong relationship, and they are great and they make you happy and they have everything that is most important to you that you want to have in a person. And then someone comes along and they have that 20% that your person doesn't have. And somehow, this is usually guys, that will look at that girl, and even though it's only 20%, their brain will make them seem like a bigger deal because they have what their person lacks. And somehow what they lack seems more important than what they already have, which is way more than 50% of what they're looking for in a partner, because they're so used to only having that 80% that they see the 20% not there as a loss, as something they need, something that needs to happen, that they want in a person, because they can't get it in the person they're with now. So what do? They break up with them. They get with the girl that has 20%, and sooner or later, they find and realize, well, gee, this person isn't as great as I thought they were. Why did I do that? And the simple answer with one of the cliche phrases is, you just thought I was greener on the other side. When you forgot to realize that what you have is greener than the side you're looking over. It's so easy to get caught up in what we don't have. It's so easy to emphasize on the things that we want, and it's so easy to forget all that we already have in our possession. The people that are in our lives, the place that we're in our lives now, career, money, health, all of these things, it's so easy to forget just how thankful we should be for the lives we have. It's so easy. Really, truly is. I remember I watched this philanthropy video, Mr. Beast. He is doing way more than creating content for viewers on YouTube. He's using his money and his influence to provide electricity to small cities in Africa, bring water to Kenya, build wells, build orphanages, all these amazing, amazing projects that are completely impacting the lives enormously in these people that live in these villages or these small communities, or bringing internet somewhere that has none. And that lets them tap into the internet, which lets kids do online learning so they can have an education. And then they also have in touch with the outside world to help them with problems. Or they can discover new things, learn about new things and topics, become smarter because education will lift them out of whatever they're doing. It'll give them opportunities to advance that they never could have done. And in this one particular video I was watching, he was providing electricity to a city, or a small town, I should say, that has to do a 3-mile hike downhill, like on a steep incline, just to get water. And they have to do that twice a day. And every single kid, every single person carries 20 pounds worth of water down and up to collect twice a day. And it's very rocky, very shifty, the ground is. And they have to do this twice a day. So they're going uphill. 2 hours it takes them. And they have to do that twice a day just to get water. But they have to do it before nightfall because in this area, a lot of children and women are threatened by kidnappers and, you know, bad guys, basically. And they are enslaved to the light. And they can't do anything in the dark. It is pitch black. You cannot see anything. You cannot go outside. It is too dangerous. So what he did is he placed lights and solar panels that will help to fuel the electricity, since where they live is in the middle of the desert and there's relentless sun. And they decided to use that to their advantage. And they were placing lights in these brand new buildings that they built, and lanterns that were in the street. And the first thing they did was unveil it by just turning on one small light in a classroom. And when they turned it on, all these children, like hundreds, were looking at it and just cheering and laughing and smiling. And just, you would have thought they won the lottery by the excitement that you saw on their faces and joy in their body. And it brought tears to my eyes because as simple as electricity, as light, that we have at the touch of our fingers instantaneously becomes so life-changing to these people that it makes you remember just how grateful you should be for the things you already have. Because just turning on that one light brought so much happiness, and you see how much they don't have. And you see how grateful they are for that tiny little light. It's just phenomenal. It really brought tears to my eyes because of how beautiful that was to watch and to witness, and made me realize just how grateful I am for the life I have. And it's the same thing with everything in our lives. With commitment, it's realizing that what you have is great. But it's also realizing that it would be even greater if you have that person in your life. And I think that also the effort put into the relationship or into the person that you're meeting is a huge factor in whether you decide to commit. Because if you only put in like C or D effort, then it makes sense that you don't commit to them because you never got to know them in a real way, or you never gave in the relationship enough to get to that level of wanting to invest more. If you go into a relationship with A or B type effort, you are a little bit more likely to commit to that person because you did buy them things, or you did pay for dinner, or you did go out and do fun dates that require you to drive and pay to get into somewhere, or pay for etc., etc. You invested in this person, and it does say a lot about what they mean to you and how you mean to them. And another factor is how much you care. And what I mean by that is I have a friend, and his approach to dating is a little bit, just skeptical and distanced, because obviously relationships are going to end at some point, and it just depends on, they vary by the amount of time it takes before that happens. So the way that he goes about dating is just like, oh, if it works, great. If it doesn't, yeah, it's okay. It's whatever. And that mindset was taken kind of to a negative standpoint, in that he's like, eh, it's probably not going to work. Or, yeah, I'm probably not going to see them again. This date probably won't go very well. I don't know about. And you're kind of already setting yourself up for failure just by saying that, which goes with the mindset. And also, when you care, it already is an indicator of what you are saying you want. Because if you care about a first date and you put in all this effort and planning and money to save up for, it shows that they actually want it to work. Because who spends money on something they don't want? No one. You spend money on something you want, or if you need it. And it replies, I mean, it applies to relationships as well. So if you go through the gate on the get-go with effort and you care for it to work out, it is more likely to work out than if you do not care and you do not put a lot of effort. And the commitment just comes in when you start to realize that importance and what they mean to you. Because commitment needs and comes from a place of importance and priority. A lot of people are very, well, we're all very self-absorbed. It's just funny. We watch and see middle schoolers and high schoolers feel so subconscious about maybe a pimple or their hair or their makeup or whatever. And you look back on it and realize, I cannot believe I was so self-conscious about that. No one notices. And you know why? It's because no one else cares, because they're all worried about themselves. That's why when you meet someone, the advice everyone says is to just get them to talk about themselves. People love talking about themselves. And it's the easiest way to get to know someone. They do all the talking. And same goes with attention. Everyone is mostly focused on their own lives, their own problems, their own needs, them, me, which is kind of comforting if you think about it, because if you mess up, no one's around to notice, so you're good. But that also applies to when you meet new people. You start to see someone as important if this person is a relationship material, and that is commitment. It comes in that form. You have to be in their type five. In Taylor Swift's song Bejeweled, she was saying how she kind of puts effort into this relationship, but it only works if you're in their top five. And it's very true, because people only care about the things they care about, and time only goes to those main five things. And it's very true for guys. Guys are very one-track minded in terms of what they do. If they're in school, they're doing school. If they're studying, they're studying. If they're doing homework, they're doing homework. If they're doing video games, they're doing video games. Sleeping. They're not like girls. We're very in touch with our, you know, feelings and connections. And usually one thing is connected to another, and it's connected to another. And it's very different with just a network and nervous system of ideas and emotions. Whereas guys, it's very, very cut and dry. And with that means you gotta be a little bit more aware of those differences, because it does help to know in how you approach a relationship. And so shows that you can be in that top five, but it all comes down to the things I talked about, which is care and effort, and whether or not they have that for you as well. Because you may put them in your top five, but they might not put you in their top five, and then that's where the problems happen. So the difference, it matters. And that's why a lot of the times we do see those situationships or one-sided things, or a friend who's in love with another person and they don't know. All of these situations kind of boil down to differences in care and effort. I'll circle back to what I said, that commitment is a huge deal. And even though it is a little bit intimidating to think about having your life devoted to a person and intend on having to go somewhere, you want it to go the distance and you want it to last. While that is scary to admit and to put yourself in that risky position, really, put your life and your love on the line for it to be shown and seen and possibly smushed, really. But it's also a beautiful thing when it's returned. It's a beautiful feeling to know that what you're feeling for a person is also felt by them. And you're not alone in that. And you both love each other. It's a beautiful thing. And it's comforting to know that your commitment is being reciprocated and shared. And it's constant, at least for the time that you're in it. It's a beautiful thing. It truly is. And you find comfort in knowing that when things get rough, that they're still there. Because things in life are always changing. I think the one certainty we have is that life is uncertainty. And everything around us is changing. And the one thing we can rely on is that things are not going to stay the same. And you can take it as negative or positive. And I lately have decided to see the positive in that. Because you don't always have to feel sad. You don't always have to feel depressed or alone. And you will see sun. It will be happy again. You will be in love again. Things will be okay. Just like an Anne will come out tomorrow. With that, I'm going to conclude this episode. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.